winked at Brandon, and sashayed out of the room. I just hate it when Mackenzie sashays. It was quite obvious she had come to talk to Brandon about skating for Fuzzy Friends. And then she created all of that drama over a lost paperclip. How totally juvenile was that? Chloe, Zoe, and I are planning to stop by the shelter on Saturday to talk to Betty, the owner. I just hope we get to her before Mackenzie does. I think Mackenzie is also crazy jealous that Brandon and I have been spending more time together lately. But girlfriend needs to, 1, cry a river, 2, build a bridge, and 3, get over it. Thursday, December 12th. That is me screaming. Why? I hate taking those 6-hour standardized tests for math, science, and reading comprehension. You know, the one where your normally nice and friendly teacher suddenly turns into a maximum security prison guard and marches around the room slapping the test booklet on your desk? Then, at the beginning of the test, she clicks this little stopwatch and yells, "You may begin now." And at the end of the test, she clicks the little stopwatch again and yells, "Please stop now." Then she says, "Put down your pencil. Do not turn the page. Put your hands above your head. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. You have the right to an attorney." OMG! It's enough to scare the snot right out of you. No wonder students perform so poorly on these tests. But the worst part is that they compare your test scores with the scores of kids in your state and across the nation. This makes you look really bad because the kids from those faraway schools are never as stupid as the kids in your own school. And since stupidity is more contagious than chickenpox, there is no way you can beat the test scores from those other schools. Especially when you sit next to a 17-year-old guy who is still in 8th grade and still eats boogers. So, under the circumstances, why would you even try to do well on the test when you already know your score is going to be lousy? I'm just saying. That's why I'd like to see a connect-the-dots standardized test. Each student fills in those little circles on his/her answer sheet, and the test score is based on how cute and creative his/her picture is. This type of testing would be more fair, and most important, a lot easier. I can't wait to score in the top 1% of the nation with all those smarty pants and earn an academic scholarship to Harvard University. All because of my fabulous masterpiece, Butterfly Bliss in 2 Pencil. Nikki Maxwell, 8th grade, December 12th. Am I not brilliant? Friday, December 13th. I'm so upset right now, I can barely write. I've been in my room crying for the past 2 hours. And I still don't have the slightest idea what I'm going to do about the situation. After we dropped Brianna at her ballet class at 5 p.m., my mom decided to buy some poinsettias and holiday centerpieces for our house. She actually chose the flower shop right next to Fuzzy Friends. It was an amazing coincidence because Chloe, Zoe, and I were planning to go there tomorrow. Mom told me she'd be in the flower shop about 15 minutes and she'd meet me back at the car. So I rushed over to Fuzzy Friends and prayed that Betty would be in the office. Just inside the front door, I saw a stack of empty moving boxes and my heart sank. It looked like I was already too late. I peeked inside a well-lit office and saw an older lady taking pictures off the walls. "Excuse me, are you Betty?" I asked. Yes, I am, dear. Come right in. This is the perfect time to adopt one of our pets, because we're going to be closing our doors real soon. Are you interested in a dog or cat? She picked up a clipboard and gave me a big smile. I immediately liked her. And now I understand why Brandon likes her so much, too. I'll need you to fill out a few forms, but the good news is that there's no charge at all. Actually, I'm not here to adopt a pet, although they're quite adorable. I was here last week as a student volunteer, and now I'm wondering if we could represent Fuzzy Friends in a school-related community service project. Betty motioned for me to sit down. Well, first of all, thank you for volunteering, she said. It's the wonderful and caring people like you who have allowed us to place more than 200 animals so far this year. But unfortunately, a few days ago my husband fell off a ladder while painting the kitchen and broke his leg in two places. There's just no way we can continue to stay open. I didn't waste any time and immediately explained the Holiday on Ice program and how the money we earned could be used to help keep the center open for a few months, hopefully until her husband fully recovered. Betty became overwhelmed with emotion and suddenly burst into tears.
Nikki, you must be my guardian angel.
I wasn't the least bit surprised to hear what she said next.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I got a telephone message yesterday from a young lady about Holiday on Ice, but I assumed she was selling tickets. I think her name was Madison, or was it Makaya?
Mackenzie?
Yes, that's it. Mackenzie. How did you know?
Oh, just a lucky guess.
Well, Nikki, tell me how I can sign up Fuzzy Friends as a Holiday on Ice charity. I'm really looking forward to seeing you and your friends skate.
Our meeting went even better than I could have imagined. She gave me her business card with her home telephone number and even the hospital number so I could reach her pretty much 24/7.
Nikki, you have no idea how much this means to me, my husband, and especially our grandson, Betty gushed. Poor little guy. He's already been through so much, losing his parents a few years ago, and now we were going to have to uproot him and move to a new state in the middle of the year. I was dreading having to break the news to him. But thanks to you, I won't have to. He's out back exercising the dogs. All I can say is thank you. Thank you.
Then she hugged me so hard I could barely breathe.
Thank you for agreeing to be our charity and allowing us to skate for you, I said, tearing up a little myself. We'll try to make Fuzzy Friends proud.
As I left the shelter, I noticed a tall fence that surrounded the entire property. I heard what sounded like a pack of dogs barking excitedly and couldn't help but sneak a peek. I saw a boy running around with what appeared to be 8 dogs of assorted sizes, colors, and breeds, including the 3 puppies. Even though his back was to me, I could see he had one of those soft foam rubber footballs and seemed to be having a rousing football game of guy versus dogs. He ran with the football across the grass, dodging imaginary tackles, as the dogs happily chased after him, barking and nipping at his heels.
And it's a touchdown, he screamed. And the crowd goes wild.
That's when I noticed his voice sounded vaguely familiar. But my brain refused to make the connection and instead decided he must just sound like someone I knew. The boy spiked the football into the ground and broke into a funky chicken slash running man slash Dougie-inspired victory dance as the dogs barked and ran in frenzied circles around him. Then he and all the dogs collapsed on the ground in sheer exhaustion. When I finally saw his face, I froze and gasped in shock. It was Brandon! Suddenly, that comment he made a couple days ago about never forgetting me no matter what happened took on a whole new meaning. He knew that if Fuzzy Friends closed,
There was a chance he and his grandparents might be moving away during the holiday break. No! This can't be happening! OMG! 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 Brandon and I might not ever see each other again! Saturday, December 14th. The shock about Brandon is finally starting to wear off a little. But I still have a million questions. Who is Brandon really? Where is he from? What happened to his parents? When did he start living with his grandparents? How did he end up at WCD? And what about all that stuff I overheard Mackenzie and Jessica saying about Brandon in the bathroom? Is any of that true? Just thinking about all this is enough to make my head spin and my heart hurt. I can't begin to imagine what he's gone through. But I don't dare breathe a word of this to another living soul. Not even Chloe and Zoe. If Brandon wants anyone to know, he can tell them. Well, at least something good happened today. I mailed off the paperwork, so now it's official. Chloe, Zoe, and I will be skating in the Holiday on Ice show for the charity Fuzzy Friends. And I plan to do everything within my power to help keep that place open. For the animals. For Betty and Phil. And most important, for Brandon. I know I can do this. Sunday, December 15th. Arrgh! I'm so ticked off at Brianna and Miss Penelope right now, I could just scream. But since this whole thing was Mom's stupid idea, it's technically all her fault. You'd think that after giving birth to two children, she would be a more responsible parent. Why in the world would she ask me to take over the family tradition of baking holiday cookies for friends and neighbors? I should have suspected that something was up when Mom started acting really weird at dinner. After setting the table, she just stood there, like a mannequin or something, holding onto my chair and staring at me with this strange look on her face. Mom, kind of freaking me out. Sigh. But since I was pretty much starving, I just ignored her and continued to stuff my face. Suddenly, Mom's eyes glazed over and she stopped blinking. This could mean only one thing. She'd somehow suffered a head injury while fixing the meatloaf and needed emergency medical care. Or maybe not. Mom, are you okay? I said through a mouthful of food. Oh! She suddenly snapped out of her daze as a big sappy grin spread across her face. I was just thinking about how wonderful it would be to pass my cookie tradition on to you, so that one day you can share it with your daughter. Huh? I gasped, almost choking on my mashed potatoes. Why were we talking about babies? Brandon and I hadn't even held hands yet. I was happy Mom had such pleasant memories of baking cookies with me when I was a little kid. Sorry, but I was so not looking forward to baking cookies with my own daughter. Mainly because I had this fear she would be a little terror as punishment for all the headaches I had caused my mom. That's when Mom placed her hands on my shoulders and looked into my eyes. Nikki, will you make the Christmas cookies this year? It would mean so very much to me. My gut reaction was to scream, Mom, stop it! You're scaring me! But instead, I just shrugged, swallowed a hunk of meatloaf, and muttered, okay. I mean, how hard could baking cookies be? Moms do it all the time, right? After dinner was over, Mom handed me the cookie recipe so I could get started. Then she headed for the mall to finish up her Christmas shopping. The thing that bothered me most was that Mom had very conveniently left out an important detail. I had to bake cookies with
Brianna.
I tried to cook a gourmet dinner with Brianna back in September, and it was a total disaster. And I was still haunted by the horrible memory of making homemade ice cream at Thanksgiving and both Brianna and Dad getting their tongues stuck on the metal ice cream thingy. Brianna came skipping into the kitchen.
Hi, Nikki. Guess what? Me and Miss Penelope are here to help you bake cookies.
I was like, just great. I knew I had to keep Brianna really busy so she wouldn't get in my way or do something predictably dangerous. Like stuff Miss Penelope in the microwave on the popcorn setting to see if she would magically turn into a bucket of popcorn. So to distract Brianna, I asked her to go find me 2 cookie sheets. Things got off to a great start. I had measured all the ingredients and was about to start mixing. That's when Brianna started making so much noise, it sounded like a construction worksite.
Clank, bang, clunk, clang.
Brianna, I can barely hear myself think. Stop making all that noise before you make my head explode, I yelled. Her eyes lit up.
Really? This noise will make your head explode? Cool. Clank, bang, clunk.
Brianna, knock it off, or I'm calling Mom, I threatened.
Look at me,
she said, doing the robot around the kitchen.
I'm the Tin Man from the Wizard of Oz.
Sorry, Brianna. You're not the Tin Man, I muttered. You need a brain. That would make you the Scarecrow.
Nikki, I do got a brain, she huffed. See?
She opened her mouth really wide and pointed. I pulled out a chair from the kitchen table and set it in front of her. Just sit here and don't move like a good little Tin Man. Just pretend you're rusting or something, okay? I mixed the cookie ingredients together, rolled out the dough, and made little Christmas trees with Mom's cookie cutters. Then I placed the cookies in the oven. When I turned around, Brianna was licking the spoon.
Brianna, don't lick the spoon. I need to use it to make this last batch of cookies.
It's Miss Penelope's fault, not mine. She's tasting the cookie dough to make sure it's not nasty. She says you're really good at drawing, but your cooking stinks.
I could not believe Miss Penelope was talking trash about me like that. Especially since she wasn't even a real, human. I thought about grabbing the rolling pin and giving Miss Penelope something really nasty to taste. But instead, I decided to chillax by watching TV in the family room while my cookies baked for 13 minutes. It hadn't been more than 5 minutes when I thought I smelled something burning. I rushed back into the kitchen, and Brianna was standing near the stove with this really guilty look on her face. The oven temperature had been changed from 350 degrees to broil. This is what happened.
I told Miss Penelope not to turn the oven on high, but she wanted the cookies to get done fast because she was really hungry.
I opened the windows to clear out all the smoke and hoped the fire department wouldn't show up. OMG, I'll just die if my face ends up plastered on the front page of the city newspaper. Westchester News, Monday, December 16th. Baking fiasco. Holiday tradition goes up in smoke. No cookies this year. Teen fails. By Very Embarrassing. Me plastered across the front page. This little baking project was a complete and utter disaster. Now I have to call Mom and break the news that she needs to stop by the grocery store on her way home from the mall. Because this year, thanks to Brianna and Miss Penelope, all our friends and family members will be receiving holiday cookies baked in a hollow tree by those little Keebler elves. I'm just saying. I can't believe that we actually start ice skating in gym class tomorrow. Soon, I'll be gliding across the ice and doing double axle jumps like the pros. I plan to go to bed an hour early tonight, so I'll be alert and well-rested. It's going to be weird hanging around Brandon now that I know his situation. I'm still really worried about him. But I think I'm starting to like him even more. Monday, December 16th. Right now, I am so frustrated I could just scream! Today was my first day of ice skating at the high school arena during gym class, and it was a complete disaster. Just standing up on the ice was like 10 times harder than I thought it was going to be. Why did I ever agree to do this stupid holiday on ice show? I must have been temporarily insane. And it didn't help matters that Mackenzie was fuming over the fact that Chloe, Zoe, and I were skating for Fuzzy Friends and not her. As usual, that girl went out of her way to make my life miserable.
Hey, Nikki, you're looking a little wobbly out there on the ice. Can I get you a pair of crutches?
I can't believe Mackenzie actually said that right to my face like that. The entire class heard it, too. It seemed like everyone was snickering about me behind my back. OMG, I was beyond humiliated. We were supposed to be practicing our holiday on ice skating routine during gym class. But no, I didn't practice at all. Why?
Because I'm so horribly cruddy at ice skating I couldn't even stand up. That's why.
Chloe and Zoe even held both my hands like I was a clumsy little toddler taking my first steps. But I still fell down. The only thing I could do really well was a move that required super wobbly legs.
OMG, is she out on the ice doing that dance called the stinky leg?
Well, I'm really sorry to disappoint those snobby CCPs, but any dance I was doing was purely accidental. Chloe and Zoe told me to chillax and be patient because it might take 3 or 4 weeks of practice before I could even skate around the rink by myself. But our ice show is in only 2 weeks. Girlfriends, do the math! Zoe suggested that I read her book Figure Skating for Dummies. And Chloe offered to loan me her novel, The Ice Princess. But personally, I don't think books are going to help me much. The only two things I really need right now are one of those walker thingies that really old people use because 6 legs on the ice are better than just 2, and a really soft pillow because I now have 12 bruises from falling on my behind, and I'm not going to be able to sit down for a week. Unfortunately, we'll be practicing our ice skating routine in gym class for the rest of the week. And then on December 26th, 27th, and 30th, we have 3 special practice sessions for the December 31st show. I don't mean to be all doom and gloom, but this ice skating stuff is turning into a total nightmare. Ah! That was me screaming in frustration. Again. But I have to remain calm and stay focused. I can't afford to fail. Because if I do, Brandon will be forced to move. And he's had enough trauma in his life. OMG, what have I gotten myself into? Tuesday, December 17th. I'm sitting in my bedroom trying not to have a total meltdown. I just hate it when I do things at the very last minute. My Moby Dick assignment is due in less than 14 hours, and I'm just now starting it. By it, I don't mean the book report. I'm just starting to read the stupid book. My biggest fear is that the book might aggravate a very serious medical problem. You see, I'm super allergic to boring. There's a possibility that while I'm reading Moby Dick, I could have a severe allergic reaction due to extreme boredom and go into anaphylactic shock. I could, like, actually die. Then my teacher would give me a big fat incomplete for my grade because I didn't finish the assignment. OMG, what if she made me attend summer school to make up for the incomplete? How cruddy would that be? Thank goodness I'd already be dead due to my allergic reaction to boredom. Anyway, I had no idea how I was going to read the entire 672-page book and write a report. But I was determined to do it. So I pulled out my Moby Dick book and started reading as fast as my little eyeballs could go. The good news was that if I read 6 pages a minute, I could finish the book in less than 2 hours. I was pleasantly surprised when I didn't immediately doze off or have any major medical complications from my boredom allergy. But after what seemed like forever, I was so mentally exhausted, the words were just a blur on the page. That's when I decided to stop and take a short 15-minute break from my intensive reading. Especially since, according to my clock, I'd been reading for an entire 7 minutes and had blazed my way through 3 whole pages. After quickly recalculating my numbers, I made a very shocking and grim discovery. At the rate I was currently working, it was going to take me forever to read the book, assuming I didn't stop to rest, eat, get a drink of water, sleep, or go to the bathroom. I was so not happy about this situation. That's when I suddenly got this overwhelming urge to rip the pages out of that book one by one and flush them down the toilet while hopping on 1 foot. Don't ask. I was suffering from mental exhaustion. How bad did I not want to read Moby Dick? I actually made a list. 5 things I'd rather do than read Moby Dick. Number 1, pluck out my eye with a dirty spatula. Number 2, clean every toilet in the house with a toothbrush. Number 3, brush my teeth with the toothbrush I use to clean every toilet in the house. Number 4, visit our neighbor, Lady Mrs. Wallabanger, for a detailed update on her bunion surgery. Number 5, hang out with Brianna. Hang out with Brianna? I could not believe I actually wrote those words, especially after she totally grossed me out at dinner tonight. How? By opening her mouth to show me her partially chewed broccoli tuna casserole, while Hawaiian punch dribbled out of her nose. OMG! It was all so nasty, I couldn't even finish my meal. It's making me queasy again just thinking about it. Finally, I'd had enough. I slammed my Moby Dick book shut and threw it across the room in utter frustration. Then I walked down the hall and stuck my head inside Brianna's room. Hey, Brianna, what's up? She was sprawled on the floor playing dolls.
The Wicked Witch has thrown Princess Sugarplum into the ocean, and Baby Unicorn is trying to rescue her. But since he can't swim, the magic baby dolphin has to help, Brianna explained.
Sounds fun, I said.
Do you want to play too? Brianna asked excitedly.
Sure, I said, and flopped down on the floor next to her. Okay, what was more important? Spending quality time with my wonderful little sister or reading Moby Dick? Mom would have been proud. Brianna and me playing dolls. Brianna picked up her magic baby dolphin and changed her voice to a high squeak.
Hurry, baby unicorn. Jump into my designer dream boat and we'll go rescue Princess Sugarplum.
I placed Baby Unicorn on the boat and did my best impression of Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Okay, let's go. Thank you, Magic Baby Dolphin, for helping me. How will I ever repay you?
You can come to my birthday party and bring lots of candy. I'm going to have a pizza party at Queasy Cheesy.
With chocolate cake, too,
Brianna said happily.
Oh, goody gumdrops! I just love Queasy Cheesy and chocolate cake,
I said, Baby Unicorn said.
Just keep an eye out for sharks, Magic Baby Dolphin added. They have very pointy teeth, you know.
Ah, sharks! Get me out of here!
Baby Unicorn screamed as she ran and hid.
Wait! Come back, Baby Unicorn! Who's going to save Princess Sugarplum?
Magic Baby Dolphin cried.
I don't know! Call 911! Sharks have very pointy teeth, and I'm allergic to very pointy teeth!
Baby Unicorn screamed hysterically. Brianna giggled.
Nikki, this is just like the Princess Sugarplum movie! Only more fun!
That's when a little light bulb popped on in my brain. Boat? Fish? Pointy teeth? Movie? Brianna, I have an idea. Let's shoot a real movie. You go run water in the bathtub, and I'll get Dad's video camera. This is going to be a blast. Brianna squealed with excitement.
Yay! I'm gonna go put on my Princess Sugarplum swimsuit.
I ran back to my room and read over my Moby Dick assignment sheet. It said, please focus on two central themes, the allegorical significance of the whale, Moby Dick, and the deceptiveness of fate. Your report can be written or presented in any other suitable format. Be creative. This was great news. I quickly skimmed the last few pages of Moby Dick. I felt kind of sorry for that Captain Ahab guy. In the end, he was so wrapped up in his quest for revenge that he went completely overboard in his final attempt to kill that whale. No pun intended. I quickly gathered some props. Then I auditioned my actors and cast the parts. Of course, Brianna wanted to be the star of the movie, and since none of those teen actors from the Disney and Nickelodeon channels were available on such short notice, I finally gave in and let her do it. Moby Dick cast of characters. Ishmael, narrator and member of Pequod whaling ship crew, played by Kent Fashendahl. Captain Ahab, crazy captain of the Pequod, totally obsessed with killing the whale Moby Dick after it bit off his leg, played by Wicked Witch of the Westall. The Pequod, a very dreary whaling ship sailing on the Atlantic Ocean, played by My Designer Dreamboat. Moby Dick, the killer white whale, played by Brianna Maxwell. Shooting our movie was pretty challenging. To create the stormy ocean, I decided to use a fan.
Okay! Lights, camera, action! Roar!
We finished filming in about an hour. I think my movie turned out pretty good, especially considering the fact that I had a cast of inexperienced actors and no budget, and it wasn't shot on location. I just hope I get a decent grade. But most important, I learned a very crucial lesson about the dangers of procrastination. Never, ever wait until the last minute to do a major homework assignment. Unless, of course, your little sister can do a really good killer whale impersonation.
Roar!
I'm thinking about entering my video in one of those prestigious Hollywood film festivals. Who knows? Maybe one day, Moby Dick Battles Princess Sugarplum on My Designer Dreamboat will be playing in the theater near you. Wednesday, December 18th. OMG. I have never been so humiliated in my entire life. Today, in gym, our teacher announced that we were going to spend the entire hour watching a very special group of skaters perform. She said they were talented, hardworking, and deserved our utmost respect and admiration. Next, she explained that she would be scoring the skaters while the class watched. I was so happy and relieved to hear this news that I actually did a Snoopy happy dance inside my head. I'm just really bad at ice skating, and instead of improving, I swear it seems like I'm getting worse. I was looking forward to seeing those super talented high school kids skate. Maybe I could even learn a thing or two. Then things got really weird. Our teacher asked Mackenzie, Chloe, Zoe, and me to stand. Then she announced that each of us was going to individually perform the skating routine that we were working on for the Holiday on Ice show. Of course, Mackenzie, Chloe, and Zoe were more than happy to show off their skills on the ice. Me? I almost peed my pants. Every cell in my body wanted to run out of there screaming. But instead, I just shrugged and said, okay. Even though Mackenzie still hadn't found a charity sponsor, her routine was sheer perfection. On ice, she was like a graceful fairy snow princess or something. When Mackenzie finished her routine, she got a standing ovation from the class, and our gym teacher gave her a fantastic score of 9.5. I was practically green with envy. I was up next. As I stepped onto the ice, I gave myself a little pep talk. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I ended my routine by tripping over my feet and sliding across the ice on my stomach like a human puck. And just when I thought my skating routine couldn't get any worse, I slammed into a hockey net and it fell over, trapping me inside. Like some kind of giant lobster creature in lip gloss, hoop earrings, and ice skates. Of course, all of the jocks jumped up and yelled, "Goal!" and gave each other high fives. It seemed like the entire class was pointing and laughing at me. I wanted to cry really, really bad. I didn't know which hurt more, my gut or my ego. Then, to add insult to injury, I saw my score. -4.0. I could not believe my gym teacher had actually given me a -4. Hey, I'm not a professional judge or anything, but any idiot knows there are no negative numbers in figure skating. I was so mad. I actually told off my teacher right in front of the entire class. Listen, sister, let me see you get your dusty butt out there on the ice and not break a hip or something. But I just said that inside my head so no one else heard it but me. Chloe and Zoe rushed over to help me up and asked if I was okay. I told them I was just fine, thank you. Then I went straight to the girls' locker room and started writing in my diary. I'm sure Chloe and Zoe will each do really well in their routines. Then they'll get a standing ovation from our class and a super high score from our teacher, just like Mackenzie. That's because all three of them are really talented skaters. Unlike me. But I'm not jealous of them or anything. I mean, how juvenile would that be? Sorry, but I can't do this anymore. I quit. Thursday, December 19th. I felt really horrible giving up when so much was at stake for Brandon and his family. But the show was only 11 days away. There was just no way I was going to be able to improve enough to not make a complete fool out of myself. The director of the ice show is Victoria Steele, a famous Olympic gold medalist figure skater. I heard from Chloe that she's super strict. She yells at skaters when they fall, even though it's just a charity event. And last year, she actually cut a skater from a show because she said the girl was an embarrassment. If I stayed on the team for Fuzzy Friends, there was a risk we could get cut from the show and lose the $3,000 needed to keep the shelter open. I couldn't take that chance. As of yesterday, Mackenzie still needed a charity. So the mature and responsible thing to do was to beg her to take my place and skate for Fuzzy Friends. I really didn't have a choice in the matter. This was the only way I could help Brandon. And yes, I felt awful. My biggest fear was that he was going to think I was an immature, undisciplined, untalented, ungraceful, self-centered brat. I planned to explain everything to him tomorrow and then break the news to Chloe and Zoe. But Brandon showed up today while I was working in the library. Chloe and Zoe had just left to pick up several boxes of new library books from the office, and I was the only person at the front desk. Me, not noticing Brandon standing there watching me write in my diary. "Hey, Nikki."
"OMG, Brandon, hi. I didn't see you standing there."
"So, how's the skating coming?"
"Actually, I wanted to talk to you about that. There's something I need to tell you, and I was hoping you could give Betty the message."
"Oh, really?" Brandon said, smiling. "That's funny, because I have a message from her to you."
"You do?"
"Well, you can go first," I said.
"I'm not in a big hurry. You can go first."
"No, you!"
I looked at him and he looked at me.
"Okay, I'll go,"
we both said at the same time. Then we laughed.
"I give up, Maxwell. You win. I'll go first," Brandon chuckled. Then he reached down and grabbed a bag.
"Betty asked me to give this to you. She said she wouldn't be able to keep the shelter open without your help, and it's just a small token of her appreciation."
Brandon brushed his bangs out of his eyes and gave me a big smile. I just stared at the bag and then Brandon and then the bag and then Brandon again.
"Well," Brandon said, still holding it out to me, "why don't you open it? I'm supposed to make sure you like it."
As I accepted the bag from him, a big, dopey smile spread across my face, and I blushed profusely. Although I was smiling on the outside, I was a complete emotional wreck on the inside. How was I supposed to tell Brandon I was quitting the ice show when Betty had just sent me what appeared to be a thank you gift? Inside the bag was a small, thin, gift-wrapped box. The wrapping paper had pictures of the cutest puppies wearing red bows, just like our great puppy escape photos. But then I took a closer look. It was our photos. Brandon had printed them up as gift wrap.
"Oh, how cute!" I gushed.
I tore open the wrapping paper, and inside was a DVD of the Disney movie Lady and the Tramp.
"OMG, Brandon! This was my favorite when I was a little kid. It's perfect."
Brandon smiled. "I was hoping you'd like it."
"I do.
And Brianna's going to love it, too." Brandon crossed his arms, leaned against the desk, and stared right at me.
"So, what was it you wanted to tell me?" he asked.
"Just great." Right then, I felt like a total jerk.
"Well, I just was,
I stammered. "Who would quit on a poor lady struggling with an orphaned grandson, a sick husband, and 18 homeless animals after she just sent a wonderful thank you present? Only a cold-hearted snake, that too."
"Actually, it's kind of about Mackenzie," I hesitated, staring nervously at the floor.
"She's an excellent skater, and I was thinking she..."
"Listen, Nikki, don't worry about Mackenzie. She's been hanging around trying to get Betty to change her mind. But Betty is sticking with you, Chloe, and Zoe. Besides, in bio today, I overheard Mackenzie telling Jessica she was going to be skating for a fashion school or something."
I was shocked to hear that Mackenzie had finally found a sponsor.
"A fashion school? Are you kidding?" I exclaimed.
"Wait, don't tell me." I put my hand on my hip and did my best Mackenzie impression.
"Hun, like, my very fabulous charity is from the Westchester Institute of Fashion and Cosmetology, which, by the way, is owned by my Aunt Clarissa." Brandon looked amused.
Yeah, actually, I think that's exactly what she said. It's owned by her aunt. Clarissa?
Yeah. I bet Mackenzie convinced her aunt to start a new charity to make our city more beautiful. She stands on street corners handing out designer clothing to the fashionably challenged, I joked. That girl is so incredibly vain. Mackenzie making our city more beautiful.
Hey, people, I'm here to save you from yourselves.
Thanks to her aunt Clarissa, Mackenzie was now completely out of the picture, which meant me and my very bruised behind were back in. I needed to go to my emergency plan B, only I didn't have one. Brandon folded his arms.
So what is it I'm supposed to tell Betty? He asked again.
Actually, Brandon, just tell her I love the DVD. And thanks.
Thank you, Brandon said softly as his eyes locked onto mine.
OMG. Talk about major RCS. My knees felt all weak and wobbly, and I wasn't even on the ice. Brandon glanced at his watch.
Uh-oh. I better get back to class. I'm here on a bathroom pass.
He gave me another one of his crooked smiles, and I tried not to swoon. Very much. After Brandon left, I collapsed into my chair. This was bad. Very, very bad. But when I picked up my new Lady and the Tramp DVD, for some reason I started to feel better. Probably because my very favorite scene was on the cover. You know the one. The famous spaghetti kiss. That's when I started to wonder if Brandon likes spaghetti. What if on our very first date, we went to a quaint little Italian restaurant and shared a plate of spaghetti? We'd get closer and closer and closer until kiss.
Scooby!
Hey, it could actually happen. I wonder how much private lessons with a figure skating coach cost. Me, as a graceful ice princess training with my coach. OMG. Stop! Nikki, open your eyes before you crash into that wall! Friday, December 20th. Today is the last day of school. This means I'm officially on winter break. Woohoo! Christmas is my most favorite holiday. Why? Because you get lots of presents and a long vacation from school. It's like having a birthday and a mini summer vacation all rolled into one. How cool is that? The only downside is that by the time you hit middle school, most parents really start slacking off on their gift-giving responsibilities. Every year, I get the same old cruddy gifts, pajamas, socks, fruitcake, and an electric toothbrush with no batteries in it. Duh! I'm so disgusted. I have such a large inventory of cheap, junky gifts, I could actually open my own dollar store or something. Maxwell's Dollar Store. Clearance. Everything only $1. Fruitcake, fruitcake. Princess Sugar Plum Color Me Set. Fruitcake, fruitcake. But this year is going to be different. And yes, it was probably a little tacky of me to accidentally leave copies of my wish list plastered all over the house for Mom to find. I am sure my wish list was way more exciting reading than those dusty old Reader's Digests my dad keeps in the bathroom. Anyway, when Mom announced that she had not just one, but two early Christmas presents for Brianna and me to open, I was pleasantly shocked and surprised. Had I known my brilliant, in-your-face marketing strategy was going to work so well, I would have used it years ago. The larger present was so big, I guess that it probably contained my new laptop computer, cell phone, art supplies, and cash.
I hope it's a chocolate cake,
Brianna screamed excitedly.
I'm going to have a Princess Sugar Plum chocolate cake for my birthday.
We both ripped open our gift at the same time, I almost fainted when I saw what was inside. Mom, what the... A princess sugar plum dress? Apparently, Mom had paid our neighbor lady, Mrs. Wallabanger, to make us these sickeningly frilly, matching princess sugar plum dresses. Then Mom got all emotional and teary-eyed.
Girls, the best part is that tomorrow you'll be wearing these beautiful dresses to a very special event.
I was like, Mom, are you crazy? But I just said that inside my head, so no one else heard it but me. I hoped that the event was going to be at a junkyard, an abandoned parking garage, a cow pasture, or a sewage treatment plant. Anywhere there'd be a limited number of life forms to see me in that ugly dress. Mom giggled and begged us to open our second present. Judging from the very small size, I was hoping it was a box of matches. Then I'd be able to burn my new dress in the fireplace. But no such luck.
Surprise! For family sharing time, we're going to see the Nutcracker Ballet! Mom exclaimed.
I was so frustrated, I wanted to scream.
Ah!
Why was my mom giving me an ugly dress and a boring ballet theater ticket when I've been begging for a new cell phone for, like, forever? Had she not even bothered to read the 27 copies of my wish list that I had discreetly left lying around the house? Hey, if I'm gonna watch a stage show, it better include slamming vocals, crazy good dancers, special effects, fireworks, loud guitar solos, and crowd surfing. I am so not looking forward to this. If Mom really wants to torture me, she should just make me stay home and babysit Brianna while blasting Dad's lame disco music until my ears bleed. I'm just saying. Saturday, December 21st. I just stared at myself in the mirror in total disbelief. How was this possible? I hated that hideous dress even more than I did yesterday. I decided it was time to take legal action. I was going to sue my parents. For cruelty to children!
Girls, it's time to go,
Mom chirped cheerfully.
I can't wait to see how beautiful the two of you look.
I adjusted the huge bow in my hair, which was the size of a small seagull. I looked just like one of those creepy Victorian porcelain dolls you find in antique shops.
To make matters worse, the fancy shoes were killing my feet. I so wanted to wear my worn-out sneakers.
It was going to be painful enough to have to sit through a 2-hour snooze fest. Hey, I might as well have comfy feet. Brianna, Mom, and I wore red dresses and matching bows, while Dad wore a black suit with a red shirt and a big red-and-white polka-dotted bow tie. I caught a glimpse of the four of us in the living room mirror and actually had a mini meltdown. We looked like a family of, circus clowns, all dressed up for a clown funeral or something. All we needed now was, 1, some rubber balls for Dad, 2, one of those trick plastic flowers that squirt water for Mom, 3, a big plastic horn for Brianna, and 4, a little clown car for me, so I can jump in and drive away from my crazy family. Clowns are us. For some reason, Brianna's dress fit a little strangely. Probably because it was on backward, duh.
Brianna, Mom groaned. I knew I shouldn't have let you put that on by yourself. Come here.
She knelt down next to Brianna and adjusted her dress.
No, I can dress myself, Brianna protested. I'm a big girl. My birthday is coming up soon, and I'm going to get a princess sugar plum chocolate cake.
Mom just ignored her.
There, she said. Now you look just as lovely as the sugar plum fairy. She'll be in the ballet tonight. Hey! Brianna's eyes lit up. Is she Princess Sugarplum's sister?
Mom and Dad winked at each other.
It's very possible, Mom said. We're going to see her and her ballerina friends dance in pretty costumes. It's going to be a lot of fun. You'll see.
Nikki, tell me the story about Princess Sugarplum's sister, please,
Brianna begged. I rolled my eyes. It was a complicated story, and Brianna had the attention span of a tater tot. Well, her friend Clara gets a lame toy, her brother breaks it, it comes to life, their house gets infested with dancing rats, and they visit a land full of candy and desserts. Then their world gets taken over by an evil rat king, I muttered.
Candy and desserts?
Brianna squealed, basically ignoring everything I'd said about doom, gloom, and dancing rodents.
Do you think there's chocolate cake there?
There's every dessert you can imagine, Mom added dreamily. The flowers, trees, and castles are all made of sweets. Doesn't that sound amazing? We all piled into the car, and about 30 minutes later, we arrived at this huge, swanky-looking theater. Everyone there had on suits and formal dresses. Mom had managed to get us seats really close to the stage so we'd have a good view. But guess who got stuck sitting next to Brianna? Me. Mom and Dad did that on purpose because while the orchestra was warming up, they left their seats to go chat with friends.
I mean, who did they think I was? Mary Poppins? Nanny McPhee?
While Brianna and I were sitting there, she suddenly started swinging her feet and kicking the seat in front of us while singing a super obnoxious song she'd made up.
Sugar plums, cookies, and candy, but watch out, Mr. Rat, 'cause if you touch my chocolate cake, I'll whack you with a bat.
An older man wearing a tux turned around and gave us both a dirty look, which made no sense whatsoever because I wasn't the one singing and kicking his seat. Brianna, I hissed, stop kicking that man's seat and please be quiet.
Hi, Mr. Ball Guy. How did you get your head to shine like that? Guess what? I'm wearing a new dress. On my birthday, I am going to get a chocolate.
Brianna, zip it, I snapped. Finally, Mom and Dad came back to their seats and the theater lights dimmed. But Brianna was already bored out of her skull. When the orchestra started playing, she must have decided it was the perfect music for her little song because she started singing at the top of her lungs.
Sugar plums, cookies and candy. But watch out, Mr. Rat.
Shh! At least a dozen frowning people shushed her. I sank down in my seat and pretended I was with another family. That's when Mom shot us both a death stare, which made no sense whatsoever. I wasn't the one singing about a rat really loudly and off key. All throughout the first act, Brianna squirmed and kicked the seat in front of her. But at least she was quiet. Thank goodness. Until the evil Rat King and his minions appeared. That's when Brianna stood up in her chair, pointed at the stage, and screamed,
"Holy McNuggets! Those dancing rats are huge! And guess what? My sister had a Halloween costume like that! Didn't you, Nikki? Except yours was really stinky."
Everyone turned and shot us dirty looks. OMG, I was so embarrassed. I wanted to die. I did not appreciate Brianna telling all of my personal business like that. Hey, I didn't know those people. They were like complete strangers. Anyway, I think Brianna must have messed up the Rat King's concentration or something because he missed quite a few of his dance steps.
So where's Princess Sugarplum's sister?
Brianna blurted out next.
Brianna, shh!
Mom scolded her in a whisper.
Nikki, please try to keep your sister quiet, okay?
Dad pleaded under his breath.
I am! She's just not listening! I huffed kind of loudly.
Oops, I forgot to use my inside voice.
Shh! At least a dozen people shushed me. Finally, the curtains came down and the lights went on for intermission. OMG! It seemed like the entire audience was staring at us all evil-like.
This is why you don't bring children to the theater, the bald guy in the tux muttered loudly to his